I want us to open our Bibles, please, in the book of Numbers, the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers. I want us to follow the reading of God's Word there in Numbers chapter 22. And as we open the Word of God, let's look at verse number 1, that is Numbers 22. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray thee, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night, and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning, and saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. We'll end our reading there, and God will bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. An old preacher, looking at the life of Balaam, said that he was the man who reached for both worlds and lost them both. And friends, you know, there are many people like that. They're reaching out to wanting it to have it both ways. And they're reaching out to both worlds. Sad to say, they're losing, and they're going to lose them both. I'm sure that when it comes to studying the Word of God, the Bible characters have got an interest to most people. And you know, when the Word of God records us, people's names in the Scriptures, in actual fact, the Word of God, literally thousands of names are recorded in the Word of God. And the Spirit of God deals with individuals in different ways. For example, some are named and then they're left in the shadows. Nothing more is said about them. God has nothing more to say other than just naming them and bringing their names before our attention. And then there are others, and God clearly not only names them, but God clearly identifies them. And God gives us the story of their lives, and by the story of their lives, God reveals to us their characters. Of course, there are those that are well-pleasing to God. There are others whose lives are so twisted and warped and distorted that they leave doubts in your minds as to not only the character that they were, but also the destiny that they find. We all know, of course, where David is. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he went on to say, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's not a doubt where David is. We have that sweet assurance that he was right with God and had a personal knowledge of the Lord when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. We haven't a doubt where Paul is. Glory to God, we find that the Word of God says, Paul, he said, you know, for me to live is Christ. And he said, to die is gain. And then he went on to say, you know, when it comes to leave this old world, it's absent from this body and it's present with the Lord. Not a doubt where he is. Thank God, God reveals to us with clarity and with certainty the destiny as well as the character of that man of God. We haven't a doubt where Stephen is. Remember what Stephen said whenever they were stoning him? He knelt down and he cried unto God and he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And you know, in a face that shone like the angels, and then he went home to be with his Lord and his Savior. You see, there's not a doubt about where he is. But friend, there are others that the Spirit of God leaves a doubt. Because the Spirit of God leaves as we draw some of the characters, the mysterious characters of the Scriptures, the strange personalities of the Scriptures, and they wonder just exactly who they really were. For example, Balaam. Balaam here in this passage of God's Word. You know, there's still a question mark over Balaam. Was he a genuine prophet of God? Some say yes, he was. While others depict him as just what you would call a religious racketeer. He was a man, instead of sincerely seeking after God and sincerely walking with God, he was a fake, he was a phony. He wasn't real. And you know, then, of course, some people say, well, you know, there's so much doubt about him, and I don't believe he was a true servant of God. But people say, well, then, why bother? Is he not a person you should forget about, or is there any reason why you should recall him? Well, I have a simple answer to that. I recall him because God tells me to do so. Remember, it's like the woman in the Scriptures that says, remember Lot's wife. In other words, God tells us to remember Lot's wife and remember the story of Lot's wife and remember how that Lot's wife was judged and how that she was lost and how that God judged her there on the plain and she was turned into a pillar of salt. She looked back, she defied God, she presumed on the mercy of God, and God judged her. And so why do I remember? Because God says, remember her. Well, then, of course, why do I remember Balaam? Because God says, remember him too. You say, well, where is that recorded in the Word of God? Well, just turn to the little book of Micah just for a moment, please. And in the little book of Micah, the Spirit of God tells us there that we are to do just that. Because the Word of God tells us that we are to remember this person that is called, Balaam, in the chapter 6, I think it is, in Micah chapter 6. Let's go to verse number 5. It says, O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Sittim unto Gilgal, that we may know the righteousness of God. Remember, yes, remember Balak. And then it says, remember what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Sittim unto Gilgal, that we may know the righteousness of the Lord. In other words, there is a lesson to be learned from Balaam. And the Holy Spirit of God says, you remember him. Can I ask you a simple question? Have you remembered him? Have you ever studied this man? Have you ever tried to understand just exactly what the Holy Ghost has got to say? Because it says that we might know the righteousness of God. What do you know about the righteousness of God, friend, whenever you consider the life of Balaam? Someone asked you, well, listen, what do you learn from the righteousness of God and the story of Balak and Balaam? And maybe you've got to be honest and say, I've learned nothing. Because I've never remembered, I've never recalled them. Do you know this, that the Spirit of God mentions this man? Not only in the book of Numbers, and he's mentioned several times there. The Holy Spirit says we're to remember him in the book of Micah that we read just a moment ago in chapter 6, verse 5. Do you note that three times in the New Testament he's mentioned? So why do you, friend, forget him? When the Spirit of God three times mentions this man, and there is a message concerning this man every time that God mentions him in the Word of God. Let me give them to you very quickly. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second book of Peter. In the chapter 2, we read these words, and they're all in the latter part of the Scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. This is what the Holy Ghost says. It says in 2 Peter 2, verse 15 rather, it says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And so the Holy Ghost brings before us our attention here a man called Balaam, and he was a person who had forsaken the right way and was gone astray, yes, speaking, following the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And so people were influenced by his life. They followed the way of Balaam. Now we'll come back to that in a moment. 2 Peter chapter 2. Just keep your hand there. Then turn to the book of Jude. There's only one chapter there. It's the second book from the end of the Bible. And in the little epistle of Jude here, in verse number 11 it says this, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. And so we find that secondly, not only speaks about the way of Balaam, it says here about the error of Balaam. The error of Balaam. And so the Holy Ghost would draw your attention to him a second time. Then turn to the book of Revelation chapter 2. And in Revelation chapter 2, in verse number 14, writing to the angel of the church in Pergamos, and we come to verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. And so we find that we have the way of Balaam, and we have the error of Balaam, and we have the doctrine of Balaam. Now friend, when the Holy Ghost mentions in the New Testament three times, this man Balaam, then surely we should do as Micah says, we should remember Balaam. We should recall him. We should remember him. Now let's turn back to our book here, in the book of Numbers. And I want just to read a little verse or a part of a verse in Numbers chapter 31, just setting the message before us tonight. Numbers chapter 31, and I want you to notice this. It says in verse number 8, look at the end of the verse, Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with a sword. Balaam, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. In that chapter, we find them walking through a field. It was a battlefield. It wasn't a pleasant place to walk, but in that battlefield, it was a battlefield in Moab, across the Jordan, where the children of Israel took vengeance on the Midianites. They had tempted them to walk licentiously into sin. And here we find that there are people in this battle that are slain. They lie in heaps. They lie in rows. They lie in piles of dead. And there amongst the dead, certainly the vultures come, the jackals come, because The scriptures tell us that where the carcasses of the eagles will be gathered together. And of course, no sooner are these dead laying there in the battlefield than the jackals and the vultures will come, and the eagles will come and eat their corpse. But as we walk amidst the piles and the rows of dead bodies, friend, I want you to notice there's a man there. His name is Balaam. And when I stand there, I think for a moment and I ask myself the question, is this the man that spoke eloquently and greatly concerning the children of Israel and their destiny? Is this the man who once said, a star shall come out of Jacob and a scepter shall rise out of Israel? Is this the man who said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his? And the answer to all of those questions is yes, that's the man. And yet with all of that, friend, the word of God says, Balaam also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. What a sad end. A man with great opportunity, a man with great privilege, a man with great blessing, and yet, friend, we see him lie there as a dead corpse amidst the enemies of God, and there he lies, slain. And yet he said one day, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. I would suggest, brethren and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, that it would be good for you to study these chapters in the book of Numbers. We haven't time to go into them tonight all. Chapter 22 to chapter 25, especially, of the book of Numbers. Study it yourself. And it could be said of Balaam that he was like Bunyan's Mr. Face Both Ways. He was a man that wanted both worlds. He wanted to look both ways. He would have wanted to have a foot in both camps. He was a man that seemed to have tremendous spiritual knowledge. And yet he was more of a hindrance to the work of God than he was a help. He was a man that had a lot of knowledge in the head. He was a large-headed man, but he was a cold-hearted man. He was a professor who taught much religion. And yet he kept company with the ungodly. Now, of course, let me say this tonight. God can use... A sovereign God can use even someone like Balaam. Whenever I think of God used the mouth of an ass, he certainly could use the mouth of Balaam. And he who could make Balaam's dumb ass to speak could make a false prophet discern wondrous things. But his heart was not right with God. The Word of God tells us about the way of Balaam. That's what it speaks about in 2 Peter. What was the way of Balaam? Because others followed him in that way. Well, if you study the scriptures here in the book of Numbers chapter 22, you'll find the children of Israel had appeared on the borders of Moab and Midian. They were coming out of Egypt. They had faced the enemy already. There was the king of Bashan. There was the king of the Amorites. And the children of Israel faced these enemies, but under God, they were able to overcome them. And so we find that in their march toward the land of promise, they appear on the borders of Moab and Midian. And the kings of Moab and Midian, they are afraid because they've heard what happened to Og, king of Bashan, and Sihon, king of the Amorites. And they were afraid that the very same thing would happen to them, that God would give them deliverance, that God would defeat the kings of Moab and of the Midianites. And the reputation of God's people and God's servant had spread. And the kings were afraid. And so they sent, the king Balak sent a message to this man called Balaam.
Balaam had a reputation. Listen, his reputation was those that he blessed were blessed, and those that he cursed were cursed. That's the end of verse 6. For I wot, said the king of Balak, that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And so instead of standing up and facing the situation, they wanted an easy way out. And they sent to Balaam that Balaam would come and that Balaam would curse the children of Israel. Of course, they brought their rewards with them. Verse 7, the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And so they brought their money with them. They brought their rewards because he was believed to be a fortune teller. Now, interestingly enough, God speaks to Balaam. Whenever these elders come and they come to his house and they say, listen, Balaam, we want you to come with us. He said, you know, I've got to ask God. And so he says, would you stay with me tonight in verse 8, lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again as the Lord speaks unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these? And Balaam answered the question. And God says in verse 12, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And God speaks to him very clearly. There's no mistake on what God's saying here. It's a very clear message. And Balaam calls the elders in the morning, and he tells them what God has said. And he said, I can't go. And you know, they went back to the king. And the elder said to Balak, you know, Balaam won't come. He says he can't come because God would not allow him to come. But Balak believes that with every man there's a price. You know, they had sent the rewards, but the king decided that he would up the price. And this time he wouldn't send the elders, he would send the princes. And so we find that the princes, they make their way and they come to the man of God as they believe and perceive he is. And they ask him to come with them. Verse 15, Balak sent yet more, again, princes more and more honorable than thee. And they came to Balaam and they said unto him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Now listen, Balaam answered, verse 18, and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Doesn't that sound good? He said, I cannot go beyond what God says. And then he says this, not even if the king was to give me his house full of gold and silver, could I go. Now what made him say that? What made him say that? What made him mention a house full of gold and silver for him? Because that's what was in his heart. That's what he was looking for. You see, he was wanting a house full of gold and silver. And yet he knew that God had said, thou art not to go. It all sounds good, friend, but let me tell you, he wants it both ways. And then this is what he says. Verse 19. Now therefore I pray thee, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Let me tell you, friend, he didn't need anything more from God. God said he was not to go. The message that God had given him was a clear message. There was no misunderstanding the message which God had given. God says, thou shalt not go with them, and thou shalt not curse them for their blessed. And yet he says to them this time, he sowed the seed about the household of gold and silver, and then he said this, just stay with me tonight, and I'll talk again to God. He wanted God to change his mind. That was the way of Balaam, friend. You see, with him there was a price. He really wanted the gold and the silver. What was the way of Balaam, friend? It was covetousness. He wanted the possessions.
And to get them, he wanted God to change his mind. He didn't need to wait on God again. God's message, there was no doubt in it. But Balaam really wanted to go. Let me say something, friend. Listen. And when God sees at times someone wants to go, then God lets them. You see, God knew what was in Balaam's heart. And God spoke to Balaam, look at verse 20, and God came unto Balaam at night and said, and if the men call, come to call thee, rise up and go with them. God says, listen, yes, Balaam, you get your way. I'll let you go. But I want you to notice something. Some people say, listen, did God really change his mind? Was God happy in what was being done here? Was it going with the blessing of God? No, friend. He was not going with the blessing of God, friend. He was not going, God being pleased with what he had done, because God's anger was kindled against him. God's anger was kindled against him. You know, maybe there's people here in this service tonight, and God has spoken to you so many times, and you just will not come. You know, the Bible tells us that God hands people over. God can hand people over to judgment. And people will defy God, and I don't want God's way, and I want my way instead of God's way. And God says, right, take your way. God says, you can have your way. But I want you to notice that God wasn't pleased. Go to verse 32 and let me show you this. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And whilst God let him have his way, friend, let me tell you, it was a perverse way. It was a perverse way. It was not a way that was pleasing to God. Go back to verse 22 and let me show you it again. It says this in verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went. You say, did God not say go? Yes. God let him have his way. But friend, in his way there was a price to pay. And God may allow you have your way, friend, but let me tell you, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you far more than you ever want to pay. You see, God had said to him, don't go. But in Balaam's heart, his heart was already ready. And God said, your way is perverse. And the anger of God was kindled against him. God warned him. You read down the chapter, friend, how God warns him even again. In verse 35, the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with a man, but only the word that I speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Warned again of God. You notice in that chapter, we haven't time to go into it, how God not only has spoken plainly to him, but how that God, the very dumb beast, spoke to him in a miracle of God. How that the very dumb beast, friend, crushed his foot, to awaken him in the path that he was going. How that the angel of the Lord was standing with a sword of God in his hand. And yet, Balaam's way
was to go on the way of Balaam.
Sad to say, friend, not only did Balaam take that way, but the Holy Ghost tells us in 2 Peter that others followed him in that way. And in the service tonight, when I look at the influence of young people that they have on others and the peer pressures that's upon them, they follow in the way of Balaam. And they follow into judgment of God. Thy way is perverse before me. And then come to the book of Jude, verse 11. And there in that book, it not only speaks about the way of Balaam, but it speaks about the error of Balaam. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. You see, Balaam went with the princes, and then they finally reached the place where the children of Israel were. He reaches the borders of Moab, and then he's taken to a mountain face, and he's taken to see the armies of Israel that lie down there and are camped before them. And as Balak takes him to the top of that mountain, and he sees that sight, finally Balaam tells Balak to build 7 altars and to take 7 oxen and 7 rams to be offered upon the altar. And Balaam says to Balak, you stand by the altar, and I'm going to the top of the mountain, and I'm going to learn what God has got to say to me. That's chapter 23, friend. And when you come to verse number 7, he took up a parable, or his parable, and he said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me Jacob, and come defy Israel. And he stands there upon the mountain, friend, and whilst he came there with a purpose to curse them, then he cries this, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people that dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? And then he says this, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and he said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? Yes, God put the words in his mouth. It wasn't what he wanted to say. And then the king says to him, listen, come with me. You've only seen part of this. And he took him to another mountain. And he takes him there to the mountain of Pisgah. And he stands up on the mountain of Pisgah. And he looks and he sees the armies of Israel there. And Balak says, listen, curse them, curse them. And they shall be cursed. But go to verse 19. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. And Balak's troubled. And he takes Balaam to another mountain. And he stands up upon the mountain of Peor. And as he stands there upon that mountain, in the chapter 24, we find that he stands there and he's called upon to curse the people of God. Verse number 5. This is what he says. Chapter 24. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of thine olives, which the Lord hath planted, as the cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out in his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought thee forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with the arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. You know what Balaam hoped? Balaam hoped that somehow that he would get the opportunity of cursing the children of Israel. You see, he knew that Israel had sinned. He knew that Israel had sinned and that they were not worthy of pardon. And so he believed that somehow, because that there was sin in the camp, he believed that God would judge Israel. And whenever God would judge Israel, my Balak would think it was Balaam's curse that was upon them, and he would get the rewards. He would get his gold and he would get his silver. Yes, it is true that Israel had sinned. But remember, the brazen serpent was raised. And they looked upon the brazen serpent, and they confessed their sin. And God said, those that look shall live. And praise God, those whom God had blessed, he could not curse. And the brazen serpent was lifted up, and God had healed. And the people were forgiven. Let me tell you, my friend, God cannot curse me tonight, neither can any enemy of God curse me. For God will not judge the sinner, because he has already judged us in Christ. That judgment is past. My sins were judged in Christ. He bare his breast to the sword of God's divine justice. And all the punishment that was due for my sin, praise God, he bore it for me. And I will never perish. And though Balaam in his heart, he knew that these people were worthy of judgment, yet God, who is a God of righteousness, had pardoned their sin. And instead of cursing them, God had blessed them. And Balaam would have done anything for the reward. That was the error of Balaam. For he was ignorant of the righteousness of God. And God, who is a holy God, and God, who is a righteous God, friend, let me tell you, those whom God hath pardoned, he cannot judge. The gift of God is a gift without repentance. For God will not give that gift and then take it back. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Very quickly, turn to Revelation chapter 2. And there in that second chapter, writing to the angel of the church in Pergamos, this is what the Holy Ghost said. Verse 14. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam. What was the doctrine of Balaam, friend? I told you that Balaam, even though he wanted to curse, he couldn't do it. Even though he wanted the reward, he couldn't do it. And the king, because every time he wanted to curse them, he blessed them. God spoke through his mouth. Blessing. You know, God is the last laugh, hasn't he? The Word of God tells me that God can use the wrath of man to praise him. The wrath of man. The greatest enemy of God. And God can use the wrath of man to praise him. And Balak sends Balaam home. He's no good to him. But somehow, friend, Balaam meets up with the king again. And Balaam decides on a plot and a plan. He couldn't curse Israel.
He couldn't curse them from without. He couldn't blight them from without. He couldn't defeat them. So what did Balaam say? He says, Balak, you can't destroy them from without, but you can destroy them from within. That was the doctrine of Balaam. You can destroy them from within. Balak couldn't fight them and win. But he said, here's how you do it. You corrupt them from within. And what you do is this, you infiltrate them. You let your people intermarry with them. You integrate with them. And once you get inside, you bring your false doctrine and you bring your idol worship and you bring it into the people of God. You can't do it from outside. You've got to do it inside. That was the doctrine of Balaam, friend. And isn't that what God says concerning here? I have a few things against thee because thou hast there them. That's within, friend, in the church of Pergamos. Thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Let me tell you, listen to me carefully, friend. The devil will never destroy this testimony from without. He's not able to do it. But the devil can try to destroy it from within. And when you look at Pergamos, what happened, friend? Pergamos was the church that marked the union of the world and the church. And the world swept in like a flood. The world swept in. Worldliness. And you know what happened in the church? Well, let's go back to Pergamos. Verse 13, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Yes, there had been a faithful people, friend. But there were people, let me tell you, who got in, who brought in the doctrines of Balaam. Verse 15, so thou hast thou also them that hold the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. They brought false doctrines in. They brought false teachings in. And the devil joined the church. The devil joined the church. And brought false teaching. Let me tell you, my friend. You just remember it wasn't a Roman soldier that betrayed Christ. Who was it that betrayed Jesus? It was one of his own. One of the 12. That handed Jesus over to the soldiers to be crucified. And that's the doctrine of Balaam. My, the old devil tries to get in. And the devil will try to bring worldliness in, and the devil will try to creep in, friend. Listen, and let me tell you, and then the standards are lowered. And there's people say, you know, you should do everything and you should do anything. Let me tell you, my friends, we can only do that which God says. And I'd rather empty the church and be faithful to God than fill it and empty my heart of the Lord's presence. Grieve the Lord.
And here's a serious lesson. The devil joined the church. He was still the devil. And here we find in this story, listen, intermarry, intermingle, integrate. It's not what we're hearing today. And then they bring in their false gods, their idols. What happened then, friends? Listen. You know what God said to Moses? Go to chapter 31. We'll soon be finished. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. Here's your last battle, Moses. I want you to go out and avenge. I want you to go and fight and fight Midian for what they've done. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites and avenge the Lord. Avenge the Lord of Midian. And a fearful battle takes place between Israel and the Midianites. And praise the Lord, Israel won. And the Midianite forces were routed and smitten. And now I'm walking amongst the dead, friend. And I come to a body lying face up. He thinks I recognize it. Who is he? Balaam. See, God got the final say, didn't he?
Balaam, the man that knew what was right. God had revealed his will. God had said, listen, Balaam, you can't curse, for I am blessed. Balaam tried it, and he tried it, and he tried it. But he still couldn't curse. Why? Because God had blessed.
Oh, he wanted to. He wanted the rewards. But he knew what was right. And friend, let me tell you, God had given him light. But he was not true to the light that God had given him. And there's people sitting listening to my voice, and that's just exactly you, friend. You're not true to the light that God has given you. And if you die in your sin, friend, and you go to hell, let me tell you this, it's not that you don't know, because you know full well what's right. You know what? Right before God. Secondly, Balaam was warned. It was a sad day. Those first ambassadors first came to him. And they brought with them the reward. And Balaam's eyes got on the reward. And boy, he looked and lost it and longed for it. And God raised up his hand in warnings, in restraining obstacles. And warnings he put in his way. The plain word of God, the speech of the ass, the crushed foot, the sword of the angel. Time after time, and yet, friend, Balaam rode over them all. To get his own way. In actual fact, you read the story, friend, listen to you. There did come a moment when Balaam said, I'll go back. God says, no, go on. He'd gone too far. What did he find? He found there wasn't a way back. The current had bore him down the stream too far. His mind was illuminated. For he said this, let me die the death of the righteous. He knew he had to die one day.
And friend, he knew the right way to die was this, to die righteous, to die right with God. And he even said it, he said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like him. But listen, friend, he wanted the comforts of that. He wanted the rewards and the hopes and the blessings of knowing the Lord, but he didn't want to pay the price. Turning from his sin. He wanted the destiny of God's people without giving up the gold of Moab. But he did come to an end. And they slew him with a sword. Some years ago, two young women signed Hollywood's movie contracts at the same time. One was called Colleen Townsend, and the other was called Marilyn Monroe. They signed at the same time those two contracts to be movie stars, and they determined to be great movie stars. A few years later, Colleen Townsend got gloriously saved. She became a preacher's wife, and she loved the Lord. God changed her life. Marilyn Monroe, she ascended in the movie world and became what was known as the sex symbol of Hollywood. She married several times. A few years later, the two women met up together. And Marilyn Monroe, with all that she had in the movie world, said these words, and I quote, "When I signed that contract, I was determined to be a star, whatever it cost me, whatever I had to do." She said, "My dream has been fulfilled, but I have paid too much for what I've got. I am the most miserable and unhappy person in the world." And one night, poor Marilyn Monroe ended her life. Friend, there's a price too high. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God help you to take the gift.